Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Tupac Shakur's murder isn't just an unsolved case. It is a cultural earthquake that, for all intents and purposes, has really never stopped shaking. One of the most influential artists in hip-hop history, gunned down in the middle of Las Vegas, right off the strip, in a drive-by. It should have been solved in days, yet nearly three decades later, the official story remains thin. The killer's officially unidentified, and the whispers of something much darker continue to grow louder. Because what if Tupac wasn't just the victim of a heated gang beef? What if his death was a result of something more orchestrated? Something bought and paid for? And what if the man behind the checkbook, as many allegations have been made over the years, was Sean Puffy Combs? But that's all they are. They are just allegations. He has never been charged, convicted, or anything like that in a court of law in the death of Tupac Shakur. We're going to break down these allegations. We're going to break down all of them throughout the years. The sources, where they came from, how solid are these allegations? And by the end of this, I want to come to a conclusion of, okay, is there a likelihood here? Is it all just fodder? Is it all just groupthink? All just, oh, this is part of the East Coast, West Coast battle. And of course it was him. Or is it just bunk? and there's absolutely nothing to it other than a legend and a rumor that will never go away. So let's get into it. And before we do, press subscribe. Wherever you're downloading podcasts, if you're listening to us, or if you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button there and comment. Give us your thoughts on this case. We read them. We reply. I'd love to hear it. The idea that Combs, or anyone from Bad Boy Entertainment, was involved in Tupac's murder isn't just a Reddit rabbit hole or barbershop gossip. It's a theory that has been fueled by confessions, lawsuits, and investigative reports from people who claim to know exactly what happened. It's a story tangled in rap's most infamous feud, a million-dollar hit, and a trail of bodies left in its wake. And whether there's any way to ever prove in a court of law, well, that's another thing entirely. That's why these are allegations and not fact. But to understand where these claims come from, you have to go back before the murder, before the investigation, before the conspiracies. You have to go back to the final moments of Tupac's life when the wheels of something irreversible were already in motion. The night of September 7th, 1996 feels like ancient history to some, especially if you weren't alive. It started with a fight, one that, if you buy into the official story, sealed Tupac's fate before he ever stepped outside the MGM Grand. He was in Las Vegas to see a Mike Tyson fight, Bruce Seldon at the MGM, rolling in with Suge Knight, a pack of Death Row affiliates. Tyson knocked Seldon out in the first round. And as the crowd spilled out into the lobby, Tupac spotted a familiar face Orlando Anderson. Anderson was a South Side Crip from Compton. And the word was that he'd snitched a Death Row affiliate's chain or snatched a Death Row affiliate's chain in an earlier altercation. That was enough. Surveillance footage caught what happened next. Tupac, Suge, and the crew jumped Anderson, swinging on him before security broke it up. 2 hours later, Tupac was in Suge's black BMW, cruising down Flamingo Road, when a white Cadillac rolled up beside them and unleashed a storm of bullets. Four hit Tupac, one in the chest, one in the pelvis, two in the thigh. Suge, miraculously, was only grazed. 6 days later, after fighting for his life, Tupac was dead. The immediate theory from law enforcement was simple. Retaliation. Orlando Anderson, humiliated in front of his peers, made sure Tupac would pay for it, right? Vegas PD never charged Anderson. Officially, they didn't have enough evidence. But he remained the prime suspect until his own murder, just 2 years later, in another gang shootout. Case closed, right? Not exactly. Because as much as the police wanted this to be a simple gang dispute, the math was not adding up for a lot of people. Why would Anderson, a mid-level Crip, be able to orchestrate such a coordinated hit in a matter of hours? Why did the police seem to have no real interest in digging deeper? And why were people on both coasts starting to murmur about money being behind this murder? To understand why anyone would want Tupac dead, you have to understand the war that had been brawling and brewing long before that night in Vegas. The East Coast versus West Coast feud was not just marketing, and there never has been anything like it. You think the beefs that we see today between people like Drake and Kendrick Lamar are big? Nothing compares to what it was like here. It wasn't just diss tracks. It was real. It was violent. And it had powerful men backing it on both sides. On one end, you had Tupac and Death Row Records, led by Suge Knight, who, for all of his business acumen, ran his label like a street operation. Death Row was deep with gang affiliations, mostly Mob Paru Bloods, and their rivals weren't just in the music industry. They were in the streets. On the other hand, you had Biggie and Bad Boy Records, helmed by Sean Combs, Diddy, who, while not directly affiliated with gangs, was known to keep Crips in his circle for protection. The bad blood between them had been simmering since 1994, when Tupac was shot 5 times at Quad Studios in New York. Tupac survived that one, but what happened next set the entire feud ablaze. He blamed Biggie and Puffy for orchestrating the attack. The East Coast camp denied it, but Tupac did not let it go. He made it personal. First came Hit 'Em Up, a track on the All Eyes on Me album. A track so venomous, it felt like music, and more that felt less like music, I should say, and more like an open declaration of war. Just listen to the song. Look at the lyrics. You'll get it. Tupac didn't just insult Biggie. He claimed he had slept with Biggie's wife, Faith Evans, and called out Puffy by name. Then came the real tipping point. Tupac signing with Death Row and aligning himself with Suge Knight, who had his own bone to pick with Bad Boy. Suge publicly humiliated Puffy at the 1995 Source Awards, throwing a blatant shot at him. Any artists out there who want to be an artist and want to stay a star and don't want to have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all in the records, dancing, come to Death Row, shouted from the stage. At that moment, the rivalry went from industry beef to a full-scale war. Which brings us back to the bigger question. If Tupac's death was a hit, who paid for it? In 2002, journalist Chuck Phillips dropped a bombshell report in the LA Times that sent shockwaves through the industry. His investigation pointed to the Southside Crips as Tupac's killers, but with a twist. According to Phillips' source, they weren't just retaliating for the casino fight. They were allegedly paid to do it. And here's where it gets really interesting. Phillips' report claimed that Biggie Smalls himself put up the money, $1 million, to have Tupac killed. The accusation was staggering. The idea that Biggie, Tupac's biggest rival and once friend, might have personally funded his assassination was a kind of revelation that could shake the hip-hop industry. And shake it, it did. The report relied on police sources, informants, and gang members who claimed they had direct knowledge of the deal. But the reaction was immediate and furious. Biggie's camp vehemently denied the allegations. His mother called it ridiculous. Bad Boy reps dismissed it as a desperate attempt to rewrite history. The backlash against Phillips was so intense that the LA Times eventually had to walk parts of the story back. But even as the mainstream media distanced itself from the claim, something about it stuck. Because whether or not Biggie was involved, the idea that money had exchanged hands for Tupac's murder was now out in the open. And if Biggie wasn't the one who put up the cash, who else could have? That question wouldn't get a real answer until years later, or allegations of an answer until years later, with a very different confession that would blow the entire case wide open. A confession that didn't just point to an East Coast connection, a confession that came directly from a man who claimed he was in the room when the deal was made. And the name he gave? Sean Puffy Combs. Diddy. That's the allegation. For more than a decade, Tupac's murder sat in the cold case files, gathering dust. The official story, that it was a result of a gang beef gone bad, had become a default explanation. The media moved on. The police seemed content with the narrative. And anyone who still had questions was left to speculate in circles. Then in the mid-2000s, the LAPD started pulling at different threads. Not Tupac's murder, but the murder of his biggest rival, Biggie Smalls. And that's when everything changed. Detective Greg Kading wasn't even looking at Tupac's case when he stumbled onto something that would blow the entire thing wide open. He had been assigned to a multi-agency federal task force investigating allegations of police corruption in the murder of Biggie Smalls. There were long-standing rumors that some LAPD officers, allegedly on Suge Knight's payroll, were involved in setting up the hit on Biggie. That's when Kading's mission became clear, to find out whether dirty cops helped murder Christopher Wallace, Biggie Smalls. But what he found was something entirely else. As Kading and his team sifted through years of witness statements, sealed records, and gang intel, they uncovered something that had been sitting in the case files for years. Something that had never been fully explored. A confession. A first-hand account from a man who said he knew exactly who killed Tupac. Why they did it, and most importantly, who ordered it. That man was Duane Keefe D. Davis. And his story changed everything. Keefe D wasn't just some random street-level guy looking for attention. He was a Southside Crip with deep connections in Compton. A shot caller. A baller. 20-inch face on an Impala. Caller, get... Okay. Yeah. He'd been in the game long enough to know where all the bodies were buried. Figuratively, and in some cases, literally, more importantly, he wasn't just someone talking about Tupac's murder from the outside. According to him, he was directly involved, and he was bragging about it. In 2008, the LAPD had Keefe D backed into a corner. He had been hit with serious federal drug charges, charges that could have sent him away for decades. He had two choices, take the fall or talk. He chose the latter, to talk. Under an immunity deal, Keefe D sat down with LAPD detectives and laid it all out. He didn't just know who shot Tupac, he claimed to know who ordered it. And the name he gave wasn't Orlando Anderson, it wasn't even Biggie. It was Sean Diddy Combs. According to Keefe D, Combs had been worried, not just about Tupac, but about Suge Knight too. The Death Row Empire was growing stronger and Pac was becoming more powerful by the day. The beef wasn't just about music anymore, it was about survival. And if Keefe D is to be believed, Combs didn't want to leave his fate up to chance. So sometime in early 1996, before Tupac's murder, Keefe D said and alleged that Combs arranged a private meeting in Los Angeles. There, Diddy allegedly told Keefe D and other Crip associates that he wanted both Tupac and Suge Knight dead. Not just hurt, not just roughed up, dead. And for that, he was willing to pay $1 million, allegedly. At the time, nothing happened. There was no immediate hit, no sudden execution. But according to Keefe D, the offer was real. And when that night in Las Vegas rolled around, the Tupac being caught on camera attacking Orlando Anderson in the MGM Grand Lobby, Keefe D and his crew saw their moment. That's when, according to Keefe D, they made the call. They armed up, and they saw Tupac and Suge driving down Flamingo Road. They rolled up alongside them in a white Cadillac and opened fire. According to Keefe D, Orlando Anderson, his own nephew, was the one who pulled the trigger. Now, if you were following the case back in the late 90s, you'd recognize that name. Orlando Anderson had been long rumored to be the shooter. But this was the first time someone directly involved in the crime confirmed it. And it wasn't just the shooting that Keefe D claimed to have firsthand knowledge of. It was the aftermath, too. Keefe D claimed that shortly after the shooting, Combs reached out to confirm the hit. He said that someone from Combs' circle contacted his crew and asked a simple but chilling question. Was that us? As if making sure the job was done. If Keefe D's testimony is to be believed, it rewrites the history of Tupac's murder because it would mean that the biggest unsolved mystery in hip-hop wasn't just about gangs, wasn't just about retaliation. It was about a hired hit. And that would mean that Sean Combs didn't just outlast the East Coast-West Coast War, he won it. The implications were staggering, but there was one massive problem. None of it could be used to charge him. Legally, Keefe D's confession was in a tricky place. Because of his immunity deal, his statements couldn't be used to prosecute anyone else. In other words, he could admit to helping set up the murder of Tupac Shakur, and there wasn't a thing law enforcement could do with that information. Even beyond that, the case had other issues. There was no paper trail of the alleged payment, no bank transfers, no signed documents, nothing that actually tied Combs directly to the hit. It was one man's word against a billion-dollar mogul. To bring real charges against Combs, they needed more than just Keefe D talking. They needed corroboration, another witness, a financial record, a record of something. And they didn't have it. Which is why, despite one of the most shocking confessions in the history of hip-hop, Sean Combs was never charged. He continued to deny everything, calling the allegations pure fiction. He dismissed Keefe D's statements as desperate storytelling from a man trying to save his own skin. And without anything solid to tie him to the crime, law enforcement had no choice but to just let it go, at least for the time being. Because as the years went on, more people started talking, more names started coming up, and more accusations. Some from people who had worked inside Bad Boy Entertainment started surfacing. And you thought Keefe D's story was wild. What came next was even bigger. Because if the whispers were true, then Sean Diddy Combs' name wasn't just linked to one murder. It was linked to a pattern. The problem with a case like this is that stories, no matter how compelling, how detailed, or how many people tell them, are not evidence. You can have a dozen people swear up and down that Sean Combs ordered the hit on Tupac. But without something tangible, something that can stand up in court, it does not matter. That's exactly why, despite the years of accusations, the confessions and the lawsuits, and the relentless speculation, Combs has never faced criminal charges. At least in this case. But just because the law hasn't caught up doesn't mean the accusations have gone away. If anything, they've only grown louder. Keefe D's confession cracked the dam. but it did not break it. What really started to flood out were the other people who suddenly had a lot to say about what happened in the months leading up to Tupac's murder. One of the most explosive claims came from Kirk Burrows, a former president of Bad Boy Entertainment and a longtime insider in Combs' world. In a 2024 lawsuit, Burrows didn't just claim that Combs was involved in Tupac's killing, he claimed to have direct knowledge of how it was arranged. According to Burrows, Combs had been in communication with Keefe D and his crew before Tupac was killed. The meeting that Keefe D described, where Combs allegedly put out the $1 million hit, wasn't just some wild gang story. It was real, according to him. Burrows claimed that Combs had actively worked with West Coast gangs, setting up arrangements for protection, and in some cases, more violent business dealings. And here's where it gets even murkier. Burrows also alleged that Combs never actually paid the Crips for the hit. If true, that would explain why the story kept resurfacing, why people like Keefe D were still talking, and why Combs' name was still being dragged into this decades later. If a deal had been made but not honored, it could have created deep tensions between Bad Boy and the people who claimed to have carried out the murder. That accusation wasn't coming from some washed-up street hustler looking for clout. This was the former president of Bad Boy Entertainment, a man who had been inside the machine at its peak, making decisions alongside Combs himself. And yet his claims, like so many before, were still just that, claims. Then there was Gene Deal, one of Combs' former bodyguards, who took it even further. In 2024, Deal publicly stated that he had personally witnessed a $1 million check being handed over to Eric Zip Martin, a known Bad Boy associate. And the same man Keefe D claimed was the middleman between Combs and the Crips. That check, Deal alleged, was the payout for the hit on Tupac. If true, it would be the smoking gun. Literal financial proof that a bounty had been placed. Here's the problem. That check has never surfaced. Zip Martin, the man who allegedly received it, you guessed it, dead. So is Orlando Anderson, the alleged shooter. Keefe D is the only major player from that side of the story still alive, and his word alone is not enough to make a legal case. Then in 2025, new lawsuits hit Combs with even bigger accusations, lawsuits that claimed he had privately admitted to having Tupac killed. Details of these suits were vague. But on alleged statements made behind closed doors, the timing was impossible to ignore. The walls were closing in, at least in the court of public opinion. But again, all allegations. A public opinion doesn't just put someone behind bars. Evidence does that. And again, that's the biggest reason why we're still here today on this. Why Combs has remained untouchable in this case. There's not evidence other than people's word of mouth. The legal roadblocks in this case aren't small. They're enormous. First, there's the issue of no forensic evidence linking Combs to Tupac's murder. No fingerprints, no DNA, no murder weapon that ties back to him. Second, the money trail is non-existent. If a $1 million bounty was ever paid, there's no record of it, no transfers, no signed checks, nothing that can be traced back to Combs in a way that would hold up in a courtroom. And third, the key figures who could have testified are dead. Orlando Anderson, the alleged shooter, killed in 1998. Zip Martin, the supposed money handler, died in 2021. Without them, there's no one left who could corroborate Keefe D's version of events in a way that would satisfy prosecutors. That's why, despite years of accusations, the FBI and the Las Vegas police have never moved forward with charges against Diddy. But just because the law hasn't made a case doesn't mean the world has forgotten. The public trial of Sean Combs has been happening for decades. And in that trial, the court of opinion has already handed down its verdict. Because when a story like this lingers long enough, when enough people say the same thing over and over, when the details line up across years and separate sources, it doesn't really matter if a conviction ever even happens. The perception becomes a reality. To many people, Combs is guilty. Maybe not in a legal sense, but in the way history remembers things. He's a mogul who outlived the war, the one who built an entire empire while bodies dropped all around him, the one who made it out clean until recently, while everyone else got buried. Maybe that's the real reason why this case has never gone away. Because there's something about getting away with it, if of course he really did it, that makes people want to keep talking. And until there's something concrete, something undeniable, that talking is all that will ever be left of Tupac's murder. A story without an ending, a case that's never closed, a man at the center of it who denies everything. And a truth that may never be legally proven, only believed. What's your thought on this? Are the allegations more than just allegations? Could all of this truly add up to something? Or does people's desires for putting the blame on this historic moment in hip-hop history, the East Coast-West Coast battle, people's desire to find the villain, find the answer, close it up, is that the desire that ends up clouding reality? And we never quite get to who's truly responsible here. I don't know that we'll ever truly know if Diddy was responsible for the murder of Tupac, unless they find some sort of evidence or financial records. Certainly know that the federal investigators are looking deeply into him right now as that investigation continues. And you can bet if there is a bank record of a check for $1 million paid out by Bad Boy or Diddy or whatever to someone over there involved in the murder, it will be found. If it's not, it might just end up being what it is today, a rumored piece of history, allegations that cannot be proven. Give us your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube if you're watching us there. If you're listening on podcast, go over to YouTube, leave some comments, but be sure to press subscribe wherever it is you're watching or listening so you don't miss any of our cases or any of our updates. We put many out for you every single day. We appreciate you watching or listening. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. The Smiths thought they found the perfect babysitter. Sweet, responsible, a glowing recommendation from the neighbors. She had a way with kids, calm, patient, always smiling. But what the Smiths didn't know was that their perfect babysitter had been using that same glowing reputation to slip in and out of homes for years, quietly collecting little trophies from every house she entered. Bracelets, photos, sometimes something even more disturbing. If only they had known. If only they had heard the exact type of case like this, broken down on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If they had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened ad-free before everyone else and caught on to the signs before it was too late. Instead, let's just say they're in desperate need of a new babysitter and some therapy. Subscribe now to True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.